We'd like to encourage everybody. We keep these cards up here. All right, we've had an exercise a few weeks where we halted the service and had everybody grab these. This should be like who we are, right? So before service, you should be coming up and grabbing a card. Why? Because God has called you to encourage, edify, and comfort one another, right? We call that prophecy, right? So you should be expecting that. You should be expecting the Lord to highlight somebody to you for you to encourage them, strengthen them, or comfort them. So these are always up here. So make that part of who we are. Hallelujah. Well, a few of us gathered up here yesterday. Kind of was a picnic, I guess. Inside, outside, grilling. That's always fun. And wore me out. So I came home early with the dog. And my family wasn't home till like after 10 o'clock. It's like, what in the world? Everyone's hanging out that long. So it was a good time of just being together with one another, right? So here's what I'm asking of everybody. Take this serious. Don't treat this like another message. I believe that it is time, and it starts in this house, for the transformation that God wants to bring to his people happens. And it's not only a transformation that has occurred from the cross, which has allowed us to be saved, but it's a transformation of his resurrection that has brought us into a different place that we are to function from. And we have fallen so short of his plans and his purposes because we get hung up along the way. So I do not say that to condemn any of us, or I'd have to be looking in the mirror, which I tend to not really like to do. I say that to encourage us. There's more. And it's time. So take every word spoken seriously. And I'm going to charge you with something at the end. And you have a choice because you're a free people. But I'll tell you what, with freedom, you want true freedom? Then start taking the responsibility of it. You do not have true freedom unless you're going to be accountable. You do not have true freedom unless you're going to be responsible. You do not have true freedom unless you're going to lay down your life for your brother. See, freedom isn't about you. But yet it was so important, right? It's for freedom he set you free. So we're going to be starting a series. I don't know how long it'll go. If we remove time, I guess eternity. Which is good for you because at some point you will get the message. Right? No pressure. At some point we'll know all the things we didn't know. So we are really going to be focusing on the kingdom of God. And along the way, I think it'll reveal to us how much we don't know, how much we do know, and how much yet we have to learn. But I think it is a transformational journey. And we need to get it. We need to get it. All right, so that's my charge. This is kind of the kickoff of it. If you're reading a book, you know, you have your foreword, right? And usually your introduction, then chapter one and all the other chapters and a conclusion. This is kind of like the foreword. Just so you get an understanding of what it is. The real nuts and bolts will start next week. Lori will be speaking. And I believe every time one of us get up here to speak, the Holy Spirit wants to bring revelation to you. And it's up to you to be prepared to receive it. I can't do it for you. The person next to you can't do it for you. It should be your prayer. It should be your longing. It should be your heart's desire. All right, so Heavenly Father, this is simply all about you. And somehow you make it all about us. So in your goodness, your greatness, we just ask that you give us the ability to receive truth, revelation, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. All that you want to impart to us, let us receive. And we thank you for transformation in our lives, individually, but also corporately, because you're about to change a region. You're about to show yourself strong. Eyes are going to turn away from the circumstances of this world and start to see you. And you've called us to play a part. We thank you for it. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is titled, just so you know, for a foreword, Kingdom Not of This World. So what am I talking about when I talk about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? We've talked about it a lot. We've given definitions. I love my wife's. She's broke it down really simple. You know, we can get into kingdom and king's domain and all the things that that encompasses and all the attributes and all those things, but it really is this. The kingdom of God is who he is and how he operates. Definition, Lori Jacob. That was the Lori Jacob dictionary. Dan doesn't like dictionaries, but that's a really good one. Merriam-Webster? Lori Jacobs is really good. It's just who he is. See, the kingdom reflects the king and everything about the king. Okay? So that's really what we're talking about. It's who he is, how he operates, everything that encompasses him, his attitude. Does God have attitude? God has attitude. How do I know? I have attitude and I'm in his image. His is always good. Mine is working towards that perfection. He has attributes, he has character, he has behavior. And as we come to behold him, those qualities start to overflow out of us. It's not hard to tell when someone's been with the Lord. You say, what? Well, they're not themselves. They're just something more. They see differently. They do differently. Why? Because they're not of this world. So why are we even talking about this stuff? What's the relevance? We've done fine. Everybody says they're Christians. It's, you know, we're talking about this because this is obedience. You say, what does that mean? First scripture. Kingdom is our priority. Why? Matthew 6:33 says this. We all know this scripture. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, this scripture, in the context of it, they're talking about all these things that we need, right? All these things in this world we need. Like, what? Well, I need oxygen to live. I need water to live. I need food to live. Exercise, all those other things that I like to avoid, you know. Yeah, vegetables, nah. You know, meat, yes. All these things we think we need, right? And he's like, you got your eyes in the wrong place. All these things you think you'll need will lead you to worry and think about these things you think you need. And then if you don't have them, you're going to get more upset because you're looking for something that God can take care of anyways. So seek him. Let him take care of all that stuff. Lift that burden off of yourself. Put it on the one that can carry it. And guess what? He'll add all these things. Right? He brings a different perspective. Seek first his kingdom. Now, these aren't my words. This isn't my concept. It's not a good thought from me. This is a directive from the Lord himself. And as a free people, you're free to reject it. And most of us do, to our detriment. You know, it's really interesting to me. We have children and we teach them things. You're like, don't jump off the cliff, you'll die. And some try to prove you wrong, you know. Don't touch that fire, you'll get burnt. And some try to prove you wrong. Why do we do those things? Because we know. Right? It's not that they can't do something. You don't seek to control your children. You seek to empower your children so they can jump out of airplanes. All my kids are like jumping out of airplanes. Then you think, how did I teach them to jump out of airplanes? God tells us things for our good. And we screwed it up in the beginning. He's like, don't eat the fruit of the tree. Right? There's like an infinite amount of other fruit you could eat. And you choose to eat the one he told you not to eat. Why? That one's not good for you. Okay? So get this principle. Seek first his kingdom. Okay? There's a point here. It's important to seek first his kingdom. Why? It's for our benefit. Okay, you got that? This is a long forward, isn't it? Matthew 6, 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, we're talking about kingdom priority. We ask Jesus, how do we pray? And what's he say? Pray about the kingdom. What about it? That would exist now in your day. On earth as it is in heaven. What? The kingdom. I would say that brings the level of the importance of the kingdom right up near the top next to seek ye first. Kingdom priority. But yeah, most of my life, really, I haven't heard a lot of preaching and teaching about the kingdom. Yet it's absolutely foundational of everything Christ. And that lacking part to me, in my mind, is one of the reasons the church has not been truly transformed into living out the fullness of God on earth. See, we have a measure. Jesus set a bar, a standard that we're to exceed. But he told us how to do it. It's written in his book. It's right there, and you have the keys. Luke 4:43, but he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. See, Jesus, our standard, knew his purpose. What was his purpose? Kingdom. You have a divine purpose. No one else can do your task. This is why you're here. What? To display his kingdom. To reveal heaven to earth. Luke 9:1, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. We love to talk about the demons and all these other things. They didn't come back and say, hey, we preached the kingdom. Oh, no, we did this miracle. Oh, we did this demon exorcism. Or, oh, we healed all of this. You missed the priority. Preach the kingdom. That's your purpose. There's no other reason to be in the kingdom on earth. Kingdom of God on earth. There's no purpose unless you're preaching it. That doesn't mean you go take the bullhorn and just say a bunch of words. It means you live in a manner that the world doesn't understand because it's not of this world. Kingdom priority. Matthew 4:17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And if you go through the Gospels, you will simply see that everything Jesus did, spoke, was all related to kingdom first. It was all kingdom teaching. It should be our priority. Again, take what I'm saying serious. This isn't just some intellectual agreement. I can logically present some stuff here and you'll say, yep, absolutely. One and one is two. Yep, got it. But unless these truths become a revelation, you'll just walk out and not have changed a bit and we've accomplished nothing. God's looking to transform us into functioning citizens of the kingdom of God. Why? Because this world needs to see it. All right. I'm going to talk about this because I think it's important as well. All this kingdom talk's irrelevant. Totally irrelevant if you're not in the kingdom. True? You can talk to me all about Brazil, but I'm not in Brazil. Don't know that I want to be in Brazil. Tell me all the bad things. For sure, I won't want to be in Brazil. So talking to an unsaved person about the kingdom of God may not necessarily register. We got to bring them to the point where they want to be part of the kingdom of God. Right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him, right? So we have to preach and teach Jesus. What did Jesus preach and teach? The kingdom. Okay? So John 3:3 says, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. So if anyone's here and isn't sure of their salvation, or they'll just say, I'm not saved, or yeah, I believe, but I haven't given my heart to God, pay attention. Pay attention. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. So we're going to walk through the Romans road. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of God. Right? Everyone knows these passages. Unless you haven't heard them, then you don't know them. But now you've heard them. So this is a really good scripture. One, because it brings everyone to a point. Why? Because it uses the word all. So I'm looking around at a wonderful group of people, and I can't exclude anybody. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What does that mean? It means we need something that we can't do. I need assistance. I cannot do it on my own. You can't work your way. You can't come up with a list. There's nothing you can do. Okay? Let's get that framework foundationally correct. There's nothing I can do on my own to enter the kingdom of God. Okay? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's starting to lay a framework. Okay, I fall short, and my reward is death. That's what I deserve because I've fallen short. And there's nothing I can do. So now that puts me in a predicament. Right? I'm at the bottom of a well, there's no way out. And all that's waiting for me is death. I need help. If you don't know Christ, that's where you're at. Sometimes you don't realize it. You haven't reasoned it out. But truth is, you're stuck and you can't help yourself. But there's a gift called Jesus that's freely available. And you don't need any other person around you to assist you with that gift. You just need to open it. So what's our job? The good news is there's the gift. That's it. It's not a hard message. You know, don't have, you're going to hell. That really doesn't help. Most of them think they're already there. All you do is present a gift. You don't have to necessarily see them open it. Maybe someone else will. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Well, I also have it in another version. All my verses are in the NIV or a form of the NIV. This other version is the Amplified Standard or something like that. NASB. Romans 10:10. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. I love the way it was worded. With the heart a person believes. Okay. So we have a gift that we can logically say this does something, but we don't believe from our mind to open this gift. It takes something in the heart that realizes I'm in a place I don't want to be, and I'm crying out for something. I need to open this gift. And it's a belief that causes action inside that may not even be logical for some. My heart moves me. Say, Jesus, help me. Okay? It's not a mental effort. It's something beyond it. And it results in righteousness. And with the mouth, we confess it, and it results in salvation. So two things going on. And that is how we enter the kingdom of God. Somehow, some way, there's a realization that I can't do it on my own, but here's a gift before me, and I'm going to unwrap it. So now that puts us in a place of what? Someone dropping me in Brazil, and I don't know where I am or what I'm doing, but I know I'm in Brazil. Does that do me a lot of good? Be honest. Does that do me any good? I don't know where I am. I just entered the kingdom of God. What did it say? I'm born again. Bible says we're a new creation. Now, I don't know. I was born into a family, had a mother and father, and I honestly don't know what I knew when I was born because I don't recall it. But I'm sure along the way, I got used to my environment, whatever that environment was, right? And it shaped me, and I've grown based on different experiences, different culture that has shaped the environment I'm in. And you grow up to be something. I often wondered, when I was young, a little over a year old, my grandfather passed away, Grandpa Jacob. So I don't recall him at all. But I always heard stories about him and how much he loved me, right? His son's son. And I've always thought to this day, how would I be different from a person early on loving me just for being his grandson? A person that totally accepted me no matter what. That loved me in spite of me. And that you knew it. And that they lavished it on you. Now, how do I know grandparents do that? Because that's what grandparents do. You know, it's funny. My kids come over and the parents will say no, and I'll say yes. And I get to do it because I'm a grandparent. I'm also the parent of their parents, so respect your elder. You know, it's so cool. And we become born into a kingdom, and it's like we stop there. Individually and as a group of people, what would we look like if Holy Spirit educated us fully in the kingdom of God, and we realize that we are the kingdom on earth, meant to change earth to look like heaven. And that is at our core of understanding, because that's what we've been raised up into. Well, guess what? The church would quit looking like the world. The influence of the world would not creep into the church. The beliefs, norms, new norms, all these terms I don't even know, norms, wouldn't creep into the church. Why? Because heaven would be creeping into the world and the world would change instead of the people of heaven. Just a thought. So what is this kingdom? What's it look like? How do we function? We've been born into it. That's how we get in. Now what? We need to begin to understand everything it is. Why? So we begin to understand how we function in it. So I want to share just a few attributes. The interesting part of all this stuff is I have so much to say and so little time to say it. And you could go 1,000 places. You cannot exhaust what we're going to be talking about. And we're going to talk about it until you're so saturated it becomes who you are. I was thinking about all these things. We had an opportunity, along with others, to go minister. And we're talking to this individual who the report they heard was, they used a word. And I thought it was an interesting word. It was incurable. And honestly, my first thought was, word doesn't exist. I've never heard that word talking to God. Makes prayer pretty easy. I don't have to pray for a cure. Just manifest your presence, God. It's really that simple. Incurable doesn't exist in this kingdom. You know, we want to cry for signs, wonders, and miracles. How would you just manifest the kingdom and not worry about that stuff? It's not really a miracle in heaven. Why? Sickness isn't a word that's used. Why? Because there is none. How about we just change your world from this world to his world? And all these things will be added. It'll change the way you view things. So what are some of the kingdom attributes? See, we need to know this. We need to learn this. We need to be this. What is the culture of heaven? Your salvation isn't just for you. Yay, you made it in. All heaven rejoices. What are they looking for? Expansion. Fill one room, build the next. It's exciting. Luke 17:20. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." Now, this is really important. It's an attribute of the kingdom. We're looking for all these things when it's already been given to us. And all we need to do is look within inside ourselves. And it will outwork out of us. Why do you say that? Because that's why we can go into circumstances that other people in the world go into frantically and we're at peace. Why? Because peace is within us. That's why we can go into and we're not fearful. Why? Because we've been given the mind of Christ. Perfect love casts out fear. The kingdom's within you. The only question is, are you going to let it overflow out of you? And I'll tell you, you won't unless you're purposing to, unless you're dedicating yourself to your relationship with the Lord first. And if that doesn't outflow into the relationship we have with one another, I'll dare to say you need to check, are you dedicating yourself to the relationship you have with God? I know the closer I get to the Lord, the more I love everyone around me. It's easy for me to check my heart. Real easy. If I'm drawn towards you, it's because I've been drawn towards God. It's really that simple. So, kingdom of God's within you. Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. This is a big saying. Why? Because it simply says this. You have now been born into eternity. Right? You're no longer of this temporary world, even though you're in this temporary world. But you can bring a different perspective to it. Why? Because there's an eternal perspective that God functions in. That's why to God, most things are no big deal. If you truly have an eternal perspective, sickness is, why is sickness not a big deal? Because I know the end. I've told you guys this before. I'm watching games where I know the score. I love it. Doesn't matter what happens. Oh, they threw the ball away with 3 seconds left and they're down 1 point. Oh, I guess the game's over. No, I know they won. Oh, I can't wait to see how they won. Do you know what it's like to operate from victory? Of course we don't. Because we don't. That should be a slap in the face. To waken us up to the place that we can function from victory. It's not a condemnation. It's not. Something's available to us. Function therein. Literally, if I had $1 million in a briefcase here and gave it to you and said, spend it. Why wouldn't you? That's where we function and that's where we're from. Unlimited supply. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We spent, I don't know, 3-4 sermons on that not too long ago. Again, attributes of the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Things happen in the kingdom of God. Now, we get so fixated on power. And I want to caution you. There's only fixation we should have is that of our relationship with Jesus, period. That should be our only fixation. Jesus wasn't caught up with power. He didn't have a hang up. He didn't run around and say, wait, seeking power. Never. He's like, yeah, I have all power, so rise and be healed. Don't sin anymore. Honestly, he was that nonchalant, and it radically changed people's lives. He didn't have to question whether he had power. He had power. We need to know what's available in the kingdom, not to build up our own haughty selves, but to realize here's what happens when the kingdom of God manifests itself. You're not called to walk into hospital, lay hands on every patient and see them healed so you can do an interview. You know what'd be really cool? I don't know what happened. Group of people walk through the hospital. I don't even know what they are, but everybody, every patient followed them out. We talked to some of the patients. We don't know who they were. That'd be cool. So what does all this take? Here's a really important scripture. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I find it so interesting, and we will be looking at stuff going forward. You know, and we talk about passages, but all we do is talk about it. Like there's a passage in Philippians that, you know, lists all these things, right? And it says, well, think on these things. Well, I didn't like that about the service today. Where does it tell you to think about that? That's not kingdom thinking. Why? Because the king tells you a good report. It's ever praiseworthy. Kingdom thinking, right? And if we really look at the word of God, when it says, don't do all these things, but do all these things, saying, kingdom of this world, or a better phrase, kingdom of Satan, whom we've given our authority over to, right? And the kingdom of heaven. Oh, here's how Satan wants us to think. Here's how God wants us to think. Here's how Satan wants us to reason. Here's how God wants us to reason. Here's how Satan wants us to move and behave. Here's how God wants us to move and behave. The word's full of it. And we glance over it and say, yeah, it'd be nice to think like that. That's how citizens of the kingdom of heaven think. That's how citizens of the kingdom of heaven behave. You know, I talked about Brazil. If I really was born of Brazil and just found it out and wanted to understand Brazil, I'd move to Brazil and be so engulfed in that culture, it became who I am. Then I'd be able to say, I know Brazil, and I know who I am in Brazil. Who are you in the kingdom of God? Does the devil even know you? Trust me, if he does, he's fleeing. So, we're not of this world. John 18:36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Kind of speaks for itself, right? You are something different. The world has not seen anything like you. John 17:14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. See, you're not of this world when you've been born again and entered the kingdom of God, but you're sent into the world. Your entire purpose of living has been altered. It has been changed. It has been defined. You have a divine destiny that impacts this world. So what's all this look like? Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. See, in the kingdom of God, you see things differently. It says he didn't know where he was going. Didn't matter. But he was looking forward to the promise that God had. Now, we talk a bit, and we just had a couple services just on some of the promises God has made over this house. I'll simply state it as factually as I can. Every promise God has spoken over this place since I've been alive is going to be fulfilled in my lifetime, because that's the way I'm having it.
Amen.
It's really that simple. I'm not going to end up like many of the Bible's people of faith that we look at who didn't receive the promise in their lifetime. We're going to receive the promises of God. How do I know? Because I know. Prove me wrong. You can't. Hebrews 11:27. By faith, he left Egypt, talking about Moses, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. See, our perspective, our seeing is changed when we step out of this world and into the kingdom of heaven. We have a different perspective. It changes everything. We see differently. Our eyes are open where before they were blind. If you're not of this world, you see differently. Luke 12:32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. In the kingdom of God, our values are different. Ain't too many people in this world who just give away everything they have. In the kingdom of heaven, we're called to give it all away, because none of it's ours anyways. It's all his. Giving is supposed to be a joy in the kingdom of heaven, right? I get to sow into this and see God do this, and wow. We value things differently when we're not of this world. I am speeding up for your sake. Yeah, I need to speed up. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We don't talk about nuclear war in heaven. We war differently. Our fight is not against one another like it is in this world. We fight against things this world can't see because we've been given eyes to see. We war differently when we're not of this world. We are founded and rooted differently. 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. Romans 8:37, know in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See, I'm rooted in this truth. I win. I win. You win. Kingdom citizen, winners. Kingdom of this world, losers. There's a destiny. The Bible says to know God is eternal life. Knowing God isn't a temporary experience. You win. You're founded in a totally different place when you enter the kingdom of God. There's an eternity that you're destined to now, and it's victory. It's overcoming everything. Why? Because he overcame everything. What do you mean? I am grafted in. I'm a joint heir. His inheritance is my inheritance. I was a sinner. Now I'm a child of God, made king and priest, and will reign forever with him. I can't even wrap my mind around that. You're rooted and founded differently when you know you're not of this world. We dwell differently. Philippians 3:20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven. I skipped a verse, by the way. That was, we rest differently, just so you know. And that was talking about the peace that he leaves with us. We rest differently. So I'll touch them again just so we have them all. If we're not of this world, we see differently. We value differently. We war differently. We're founded differently. We rest differently. And we dwell differently. Hebrews 11:13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. They dwelled differently. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings and sinful man and the lust of his eyes and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. We dwell differently when we're not of this world, but we're in this world. So wrapping this forward up. Not of this world. Kingdom culture. What's it look like? We have a brief glimpse, and I'm not gonna really outlay any of it. But Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. Sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. I think this passage we know so little about outworking out of our lives, but this is a picture of the birth of the church, which is a picture of the first group of citizens of the kingdom of God functioning together on earth. And there's things the Lord wants to reveal to us in that. But I'll tell you what, they got it. They were not of this world. So I want to say one thing leading into next week. And I want you to hear this. And let Holy Spirit bring you revelation throughout the week on this. John 13:35. Here's an outworking of the kingdom of God on earth. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That is a foundational kingdom of heaven principle. All men, all of mankind, all of this world, all will know Jesus by how we love one another. Doesn't say by how I love the world. Doesn't say by all my acts of service towards them. Doesn't say, it says by how we love one another. There is an outworking of the love of God that flows into us and out of us towards one another that this world is waiting to see. There is a not of this world love that the world is waiting to see. Why? So they'll know Jesus. He's the only explanation. There is no other. I don't know love like that in this world. We need revelation that changes us. So, I ask you guys to stand with me. As I close, it's a long forward. Most would say, like, oh, that's like half a book. It's a long book. Anybody read War and Peace? I mean, it's a long book. I simply ask this. And there is no condemnation. Okay, this is between you and the Lord and not you and the person next to you. I believe the Lord has us on a journey. And I'm simply asking, will you be devoted to the journey? And that journey is one of revelation and transformation. I believe the Lord wants to take you where you are and move you farther along your path of destiny towards his plan and purpose for your life. but I also believe wants to take us in who we are and bring us together and form us into who he's called us to be. Why? So they'll know. It's just so that they'll know. He wants to see his sons revealed. He wants to see his people be his people. Eternity's now. So I simply ask this, if you will dedicate yourself to that, this isn't just a good thought. If it's a good thought, don't come up here. Okay? I mean, you are going to give yourself to the season that the Lord has us in. You're going to take the words that he speaks and shares. You're going to meditate on them day and night until you get revelation that you see transforms your functioning. If you're functioning the same, you're not getting the revelation. If you'll dedicate yourself, give yourself to that, I'm going to ask you to come up here, and we're simply going to pray over you and bless you on this journey. If you're not, that's okay. God knows timing way better than I know timing. And when he brings you to that place, then you make your decision. So I'm just going to close the service. If you can find some music or something to put on, that would be great. Those that need to go, I'm going to bless you. Those that come forward, we're going to pray for you and just release you towards your destiny. So Heavenly Father, I bless your people whether they come or go. I pray that the same favor would be upon them. I pray that the same manifest destiny that you have for each one of them will occur in their lives. And you know where they're at, and you know what they need to do. So we bless them today. We thank you for what you're sharing. We thank you for what you're doing in each and every life and in us together. And we say, God, be glorified. In Jesus' name, come forward. If you can dedicate yourself, you can't, have a wonderful day. We love you. Be blessed in Jesus' name.